This is Press Play on KCRW. I'm Madeline Brand. In February, Saudi Arabia made history, appointing a princess, Rima bint Bandar Al Saud, as the kingdom's first female ambassador to any country. Well, the country in question is the United States. Princess Rima is deeply entrenched in the Saudi royal family, the great-granddaughter of the country's founder, Ibn Saud, and a cousin of Saudi Arabia's de facto ruler, Mohammed bin Salman, or MBS, as he's known. The appointment comes at a time of strained relations between the United States and Saudi Arabia over the Saudi-led war in Yemen, the horrific murder of Washington Post journalist Jamal Khashoggi, and MBS's crackdown on dissidents, even within his own family. Elise Labbitt joins me now to talk about all this. She's a journalist in residence at Georgetown School of Foreign Service and a former CNN Global Affairs correspondent. She's just written a big profile of the new ambassador for Politico. Welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, it's great to have you. Well, tell us more about her. Who is she? What's her background?
Well, Madeline, she's an interesting woman. She grew up here. If the name Bandar sounds familiar to any of your listeners, that's because her father, Prince Bandar, was a legendary longtime ambassador of Saudi Arabia to the United States here for about 22 years. And he was really considered one of the all-time diplomats from any country to the U.S. He was so close to everyone in Washington that, especially the Bush family, that they nicknamed him Bandar Bush. So Princess Rima grew up here in the United States, you know, as American as any of us, you know, eating Kentucky Fried Chicken, Betty Crocker, you know, Pizza Hut, you know, obviously raised, you know, in the Saudi Islamic faith, but really having an American existence. And the first, you know, I'd say until she was a teenager, going to American schools and really living an American lifestyle. And so when she went back to Saudi Arabia, she had that mindset. She was about, you know, 23 when she went back to Saudi Arabia and started, you know, kind of rumbling up against a lot of customs for Saudi women that she didn't have back in the United States. And that kind of got her started on trying to get women into the workplace, trying to promote issues like breast cancer, trying to, you know, there were very strict rules in Saudi Arabia about women going outside without a man, women not being able to join in public places. And so she really kind of tried to push these issues. She took some jobs in the government, particularly in the sports authority, and tried to work within the law, but really kind of pushing the envelope for many years. And you know, she was one of the, I won't say she was the only one, but one of the catalysts for some of the changes you've seen taking place in the kingdom, such as women driving, the guardianship rules in Saudi Arabia being ended. Of course, there are a lot of questions about the government that she's representing, and we can talk about that. But she and herself has really kind of embodies what the Saudis say are the new possibilities for women.
So, but what does she say about MBS detaining women activists, about his role, according to the CIA, at least, in Khashoggi's murder? All of these things, and also the war in Yemen, all of these things that have really strained relations with the United States. How is she threading that needle?
Very carefully, Madeline. I mean, she's, you know, on the women, she'll say, look, you know, those women have been released, all of them except for a few that I will say the UN and human rights groups believe a few of them have been tortured. The Saudis deny it, but a few of the activists are still in jail. Many of them have been released. And she kind of touts the party line, saying, you know, the ones that they broke the law. That, you know, yes, they understand the yearning for freedom that the women have, but, you know, they broke the law in terms of publicly agitating against the government. And, you know, I guess would take the attitude is the laws were being changed for women, and they were. So why are you breaking the law when you know they're going to be changed anyway? It's a very interesting dynamic. On the Jamal Khashoggi, she says she never had a shadow of a doubt that he was involved, that he wasn't involved, even though the CIA, as you said, you know, assesses with high confidence that he was the one that masterminded it. saying that, you know, she knows him and she spent enough time with him to know that, A, this isn't his MO, and B, it would have kind of destroyed, and in some ways it has certainly hurt, all of the things in his vision, which they call Vision 2020, all these, you know, forward-looking things that he wanted to do for the country. So, you know, she's not anybody, you know, despite the fact that she has, you know, been a proponent for women's rights, that she's, you know, kind of spoken up in terms of rights for Saudis, anybody that's looking, and I write in the piece, anybody that's looking for like a nod, nod, wink, wink, or, you know, kind of eye roll that, you know, she doesn't stand by her boss, they're not going to get it. She really is a true believer in MBS and his vision, and she wants the Americans to see it too.
Well, did he send her to Washington as the ambassador?
He did. He appointed her. Look, I think it is a fair, you know, I won't say criticism, but a fair observation that the Saudis put a woman here to soften their image. It doesn't hurt that her name is Bandar, who was a, you know, beloved figure here in Washington. And she does kind of present, you know, strike a nice symbolic pose as a forward-looking vision of Saudi Arabia. But I think she and, you know, supporters of her say that she is qualified for the job. She has done a lot. And judge her on her performance. And she's got a lot of ideas about, you know, not just in terms of the political relationship, which, you know, if you look at it, the White House is, you know, pretty much kind of said they're willing to look past Jamal Khashoggi, but in terms of the things that she wants to do, that she's a serious person. And, you know, let's look past the reason that he might have appointed her and say he did appoint her, and let's see what she does.
Yeah. Well, I guess I'm wondering, because the Senate blocked billions of dollars in military aid that Trump wanted to give to the Saudis over Yemen and Khashoggi and all that. Was she sent basically to try to get that money, not to put too fine a point on it?
I think that's one of her main jobs, is to work with Congress. And in terms of, I don't think she's ever going to change any minds about Jamal Khashoggi. Mm-hmm. I don't think she's ever going to change any minds about what the guy's done in the past, what her boss, MBS, has done in the past. But what I think she wants to do is, and I've spent a lot of time with her, I think she wants to say, look, we've had, you know, difficult, you know, issues in the past. Can we compartmentalize that? And can we work together on helping shape the future? Like, we are changing. We want to learn from you. We want to soak up your wisdom and knowledge and, you know, help us move forward. And I don't just think it's about Congress. I mean, look, yes, the aid money on billions of dollars in, you know, weaponry is important. I won't say it's the most important thing, because they can get the weaponry, you know, somewhere else. Like, and I think that's part of the reasoning behind the administration. Like, would you rather get it from us, or would you rather get it from Russia? But I think what she also wants to do is kind of move the relationship past just, you know, issues of Yemen, issues of political issues, and have more of a comprehensive partnership that the U.S. has with a lot of other countries. She is trying to bring, and, you know, she's trying to bring, as Saudi Arabia tries to diversify, they're trying to bring entertainment to the kingdom. They're
so
trying to bring
she's trying to
the kingdom.
Make
they're
it seem bring, a little more
trying to
modern.
Broaden it.
Mm-hmm. We ran out of time, so sorry. But Elise, thank you so much, and thanks for your reporting on this.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
That's Elise Labatt. You can read her profile of the new Saudi ambassador in Politico. Coming up, why Mexico is home to American Mormon communities and the food of Oaxaca in Los Angeles.
Grasshoppers are free-range, grass-fed, the most cleanest things you could ever eat. Full of protein, they're so nutritious for you, yet people are cool with eating shrimp. It's so weird to me. I can't, it doesn't fit in my head.
We'll talk to the chef and the owner of Galaguetza coming up on Press Play.